To most seems like it's far, far away, but the day that it arrives will be too late to do what we can do, we can do today.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله صلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, once again we say marhaba, marhaba, and we welcome you into today's silsila. And before commencing the silsila, listen to a hadith pertaining to the blessings and virtues of sending durood and salawat upon our master, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the coolness of our hearts and minds, has stated that the closest person to me on the day of Qiyamah will be the person who recited durood and salawat in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, every act and every deed that a Muslim engages in, the most important aspect of it is the good intention that one makes before or prior to conducting that particular deed. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, that actions are judged based upon intention. Meaning that each and every deed, each and every action that a Muslim engages in, the most important aspect of it is the good intention that you make. In another hadith sharif, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali, that the intention of a believer is better than his action. And as far as good intention is concerned, what is of utmost importance as well is that with the good intention that a person makes, a person should also have sincerity and ikhlas upon that intention. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that yakfika al-amalul qareel, that even small deeds, small actions, minor deeds are sufficient as long as if they are carried out with a good and sincere intention. Therefore, I am sure before the silsila commenced, there were some intentions that were displayed on the screen. And also, if you have any other intentions that you would like to make, you can also make that intentions. For the more good intentions we make, but by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the more blessings and rewards that one will obtain from the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, we should make it a habit that every deed and every practice that we engage in, we should always make a good intention before carrying out that particular deed and particular action. Therefore, before even watching the silsila today, make the good intention that insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, you shall see it and watch the silsila from the beginning to the end, only and only for the pleasure of the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Another good intention that we can make is that insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever I learn from the silsila, for today's topic of discussion is pertaining to the sunan and adab, how to conduct yourself once a person has passed away. Those that are around him or her, how they should carry themselves, what they should do, the sunnah method of closing the eyes and so forth. So these are some of the sunan and adab that we are going to be engaging and discussing today. Therefore, make the good intention that insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever you learn today, you shall convey its message to the others. Therefore, let us make the good intention that inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, whatever we learn today, we shall convey its message to the others. And another good intention that one can make is the good intention that inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, whenever I hear the name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being mentioned, I will reply by saying Azza wa Jal. And whenever I hear the name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being mentioned, I shall reply by saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, after listening to the virtues of sending durood and salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also after listening to the importance of making good intention, let us now inshallah go and discuss the topic of discussion today. And the topic of discussion today is pertaining to illness, to death. Meaning when a person is at that critical moment of their life, whereby through illness, they are now able to see that these are the final moments of their lives. And if a person goes out to go and visit them, how they should conduct themselves, what things should be said around such a person that is going through the final moments of his life. And in the previous silsila, we discussed that when you visit such a person, you should visit them, and when visiting, you should be careful of how you conduct yourself and the three statements that you make in their presence. And among the statements that you can make is that you must give them a message of the importance of having sabr even at the state of illness. You must teach them and recite to them stories of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, stories of the Salafus Salihin, of how they conducted themselves when they were in a state of illness. And also you should emphasize about the importance of having sabr, about the importance of being patient when at the time of illness. Because dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, our greatest problem of the Muslims today is that even when we are faced with difficulties, this is the time whereby we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem of society today is that when we are faced with moments of ease in our lives, we tend to forget about the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We tend to even be neglectful of our salat. We tend to be neglectful of the commands of the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. But the moment we are faced with difficulties, that is the time whereby we turn to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the time whereby we consider the true existence of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want immediate solutions to our problems. And the minute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our du'as, even then as well, we turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why in the mafhum of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that a person remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the moment of ease, so that when you make dua and supplicate at the moment of difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your supplications. Therefore, as Muslims, when life is easy, at the time whereby you have health, at the time whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you siha and you have good health, at that moment as well, you should supplicate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the health that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. Obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do so at the times of ease, at the times of difficulties as well, when you supplicate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you shall find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will easily answer your supplications. It is stated in the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when a human being is afflicted by difficulties, that is the time whereby you shall find that Allah's banda supplicates sincerely in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll find in Muslim communities an Islamic brother whom, when he's faced with a difficulty, you'll find him 5 times in the masjid, performing salah, fasting the month of Ramadan. And at times you'll find that they even adorn the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They start following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they supplicate sincerely in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mustajabu du'awat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty who says that, udu'uni astajib lakum, ask me and I shall grant you. So the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when his bandas supplicate, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when his bandas stands in his court and he supplicates to him and says, oh my Rabb, oh my Creator, oh Allah azza wa jal, grant me such and such. So when the banda supplicates, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the supplications of his banda. A person is ill, a person is sick, and he supplicates in the court of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers his supplications. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills his needs. A brother that has been going out searching for a job, and he supplicates in the court of Allah, that, oh Allah, I'm in need of a job. Oh Allah, I need to provide for my family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the supplication. And the brother is obedient to the commands of Allah. He has adorned the beard. He has adorned madani libas. And you'll find that after his supplications are answered, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors for this brother, when Allah opens the doors for this Islamic sister, and then نَسِيَ مَا كَانَ يَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Allahu Akbar. The servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a weakness of us as human beings, that when things are good, when we have siha, when we have health in our lives, we tend to forget about our Creator, the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why in the mafhum of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, take care of five before five. And among the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions is, take care of your health before your illness. Meaning that while you have the health, while you have this good siha, while you can still live, while you can still worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in this moment whereby you are healthy, these are the moments whereby you must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a moment of illness will come, you shall at times not be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same manner. You know, sometimes there are some people that end up in car accidents. And after the car accident, you'll find that the brother that was able to offer his salah, a brother that could offer his salah in a standing position, a brother that could stand up in qiyam, go down into ruku, go down in sajda, but due to illness, after a car accident, you'll find that the brother is chair ridden, whereby he no longer is able to even walk. He is no longer able to stand. In order to stand up, he requires support to stand up. Ask that brother, what is the value of even one sajda? Ask that brother that can no longer go down and prostrate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask that brother. You know, at times the brothers will tell you, the brothers that are sitting on wheelchairs, they will tell you that I can trade my entire life just to be able to go down into sajda. Allahu Akbar. And yet, when we have health, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed siha upon us, we forget this great ni'mah and bounty of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We disobey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We disobey the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when a person is at this stage of illness, when a person is critically ill, in this state and condition, when you go and visit them, you should give them hope in the mercy of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't allow them to start questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't allow them, because at times the statements that are made in this condition are statements of kufr, whereby a person comes out of the fold of Islam because of the statements that they make. At times you'll find that people start questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People ask questions such as, why me? Why now? And this type of questions, ma'adallah, are made when a person is critically ill. But why me? Why now? And at times people start mentioning the good deeds that I give my charity, I give my sadaqah, I have been for 4 hajj, I have been for 3 umrahs. Why am I in this condition? Why am I in this particular situation? So they start questioning the Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person is critically ill, when you go and visit them, mention to them about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mention to them that illness is when a person has difficulty, an illness, a trial of illness, it is not the end of the world, but rather these trials that come into our lives are trials that come because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to purify us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that when you go back to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must be pure and purified. You know, trials and difficulties, it is stated, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves any of his servants, ابْتَلَاهُ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person trials and difficulties. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves any of his bandas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts them through different types of difficulties. It does not mean that it is the end of the world, but rather understand, at times understand difficulties this way, that I have this trial and difficulty because my Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا إِبْتَلَاهُ, when Allah loves his servant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts his banda through difficulties. أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءُ, the most tried and tested people, the most people who go through the most difficult trials are the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ الْأَقْرَبْ فَالْأَقْرَبْ, then those that are the closest to the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones that face the most difficulties and trials. So when you are a good Muslim, when you are a person that offers his salah, when you are a person that gives out their charities, when difficulties come into your life, don't start questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't start questioning the authority of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times, look at the musibah, look at the difficulty with the eye that my Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bestowing this difficulty, this musibah upon me. Why and why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to trial me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting these difficulties and trials upon me because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me. If you find and study the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many takleefs, how many trials, how many tribulations, how many difficulties did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come through? Sometimes when people are faced with illness, sometimes when people are faced with a difficulty, we start associating our difficulties and trials to our sins and gunas. You know, sometimes you'll find that when a brother is sick, they start saying, making statements such as, what guna did I perform for me to deserve such illness? What guna did I perform for me to deserve such illness? What sin did I perform for me to deserve this illness? At times you'll find that even when a person's family members, when his children get ill, he starts questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they question Allah in a certain way whereby the statements that are made is that, what guna did I perform for my children to deserve to go through all of this? Dear listeners and verse of Allah channel, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was ma'asoom, and not an ordinary ma'asoom person, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Sayyidul Ma'asoomin. He was the leader of all the ma'asoom people. There was no person that has ever walked on the surface of earth like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most innocent person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ma'asoom. And yet, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his own life, he also had to go through trials and difficulties. And there was no tested person who went through so much of trials and difficulties like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to convey this beautiful message of Islam to us. Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a famous story, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks into Ta'if. The people of Ta'if stone him, and they stone him to such an extent that his slippers that he was wearing, and it stated that they were full of blood. Allahu Akbar. Isn't that a trial and a test? That you go to convey a message of Islam, you go to convey a message of peace to the people, and in return, the people stoned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most difficult thing that any parent can ever have to go through is the fact of burying their own children. burying their own wives, burying their own daughters, burying their own sons. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to also go through all of this as well. It is stated that in order for you to understand and comprehend how beloved was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are famous narrations whereby even in paradise, it is stated that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Nabi Adam alayhi salam, when Nabi Adam alayhi salam looked throughout the pillars of Jannah, it is stated that it was written, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was still written on the pillars of Jannah. It is stated in some ahadiths that even the leaves of Jannah, on the leaves of Jannah is written the name of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So such a beloved person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person whom even the tawbah of Nabi Adam alayhi salam was accepted through the wasila of the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, Nabi Adam alayhi salam uses a word, he says a word, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that particular word of tawbah during the tawbah of Nabi Adam alayhi salam to such an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah of Adam alayhi salam. And the word that Nabi Adam alayhi salam used was the name, the beautiful name of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this shows how beloved, the most beloved person to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Habib Allah, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through so many trials and difficulties. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was ma'soom and yet had to go through so many trials and difficulties. So one has to understand, even when we are faced with difficulties, when we are faced with musibahs in our lives, we should always have this at the back of our minds, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these trials. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these difficulties because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to purify us. So when a person goes out to go and visit a sick person, you should create a good environment. Create an environment whereby you are mentioning to the sick person about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to have sabr, and also narrate to them. You know, there is a beautiful narration. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that whoever faces a trouble in his wealth or health and conceals it and did not disclose it to people, it is upon the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive him. Subhanallah. Meaning, whatever difficulties, whatever trials that you are going through in your life, whether it be it in your health, be it in your wealth, be it in your properties, whatever difficulty that you are going through, if you conceal it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. So when you go and visit a sick person, this type of narrations should be narrated to a sick person so that by listening to his narrations, they will not complain about their illness. They will not complain about their sickness. They will understand that the sickness and illness is all from the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. In another hadith sharif, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that whatever trouble a Muslim faces due to illness or worry, sadness, torture or grief, even if a thorn pranks him, Allah Azza wa Jal makes this as kafara for that person's gunas and sins. Subhanallah. So what is there to complain about, subhanallah, when even your illness is a form of kafara for the gunas and sins that one commits? That you'll find that the Salafus Saliheen and the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they were faced with situation of illness, whenever they were sick, subhanallah, they would understand that this is a form of kafara for their illness. This is a form of kafara for their sicknesses in the eyes of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beautiful, you know, the beauty of the deen of Islam is that even illness is not regarded as a punishment. Because why and why? In some of the religions, you'll find that illness is regarded as a sort and form of a punishment. It is regarded as a form of a sin and so forth. But in the beautiful deen of Islam, you'll find that even illness is regarded as a form of obtaining mercy and rahmah from the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The great thinker, Hazrat Allama Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi, has said that a common cold is not a disease, but rather a cure for mental disease. It prevents many other diseases. One who suffers from a cold does not go mad or insane. The one who has ever suffered from an itch does not suffer from leprosy. And there are many divine pearls of wisdom behind cold and itching. Subhanallah. So this statement by Sayyidina Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi, it is a statement that shows that subhanallah, even in the beautiful deen of Islam, even when a person has a cold, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala releases you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieves you from another illness as well. So this is how we should look at an illness. This is how we should look at the situation and trial of becoming ill and becoming sick. So when you go and visit a sick person, these are some of the statements that one can make in order to give hope to a person that is in a state of illness. And also, when you visit a sick person, one of the acts and practices that one can do when visiting a sick person is that you should encourage the sick person that, or sick person, make the good intention that when you recover from your illness, you shall become a different person. When you recover from your illness, if you are not a namazi, if you are not punctual with your salah, when you recover from your illness, you will become punctual with your salah. If a sick person was a person who used to be disobedient towards his parents, then in that state of illness, you should encourage them to make the good intention that insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, once they recover from their illness, they will go back into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will start being obedient towards the parents. They will become obedient towards the commandments of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a sick person was a person who is neglectful to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, encourage them that when they become well, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants health back to them, they shall adore the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another good intention that you can make a sick person make is that they must make the good intention that once they recover, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, they shall travel in the Madani Qafila of Dawat Islam. Even if they can only travel for a 3-day Madani Qafila, they must make the good intention that if I recover from my illness, I shall travel with the lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Madani Qafila of Dawat Islam. So these are some of the good intentions that you can make the person that is ill make. And also, these are some of the sunan and adab of going out to go and visit a sick person. Give them hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After giving them hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua for them. After making dua for them as well, inform them about the importance of having sabr through the difficulty of the illness. And also encourage them to make tawbah and repent in the court of the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
To most seems like it's far, far away, but the day that it arrives will be too late to do what we can do. We can